From News Talk 580 KMJ, this is the Maddie Report, Valley Views Edition. Here is Mark Kepler.
This week on the Maddie Report, Valley Views Edition.
How many times have you heard from politicians that they will eliminate fraud, waste, and abuse? And while no one disagrees with that sentiment, few realize that agencies and commissions already exist whose sole mission is to make government more efficient and effective. Who are they and what do they do? We'll talk to the leaders of three state watchdog groups that work to make California government more responsive to its citizens. Mac Taylor, leader of the state's nonpartisan Legislative Analyst Office, or LAO, who is credited by both parties as providing accurate, unbiased information on fiscal and policy matters. California State Auditor Elaine Howe, who works to promote the efficient and effective management of public funds and programs. And Stuart Drown, the executive director of California's Little Hoover Commission, whose mission is to investigate state government operations and make recommendations to promote efficiency, economy, and improve service. And we'll get analysis of all three watchdogs from Dan Walters, the Sacramento Bee's popular political commentator. California's government watchdogs. Who are they and what do they do?
From Fresno, the Maddie Report, with Executive Director of the Maddie Institute, Mark Kepler.
Welcome. Established in 1941, California's Legislative Analyst Office, or the LAO, was the first office of its kind in the nation established to, quote, ascertain facts and make recommendations concerning the state budget with a view to reducing costs and securing greater efficiency. In short, the LAO is charged with calling it as they see it, or put another way, speaking truth to power. The current LAO is Mac Taylor, who we welcome back to the Maddie Report. Welcome, Mac.
Thank you.
While your office is widely considered one of the most influential in Sacramento, people around the state may not be aware exactly of the work that you do. So how would you describe the work of the LAO?
Well, I think you got to the heart of it, ascertaining facts and making recommendations on the way the state government operates. It's a very broad mandate. We can look at kind of anything that we want. But we're really there as legislative staff, helping the legislature in making decisions about the way that state government operates.
Does that mean who's ever in charge of the legislature, you have to do their bidding?
No. They've set us up really as an independent office. They let us kind of make our findings to them. We present them to the legislature, and then they're free to do whatever they want. And I think that's a really important feature of the office, that we have that kind of independence to just, as you say, call it like we see it.
Okay, well, the LAO, a lot of people say it's like the CBO, but there's actually a difference between the two, the Federal Congressional Budget Office and California's LAO. What is the difference in?
Well, I think there are more similarities. Okay. The CBO, or the Congressional Budget Office, was created in 1974. We've been in existence since 1941, and I believe we were actually one of the models that they looked at. We were the first. Mm-hmm. So we do the same thing. We provide information, analysis to our bosses, the legislative bodies. The one key difference is that CBO does not make recommendations. I think it was felt that that would be too controversial, whereas our mandate is specifically to provide recommendations to the legislature.
Well, let's get into those recommendations a little bit. You're probably best known for your work on the state budget. How would you describe your role in the state budget process?
Well, the basic role over the years has been to assess the governor's budget that comes out every January 10th. So this coming January, the governor will present his budget for the 12-13 fiscal year, which will start next July 1. And he may make changes, he may have new programs, he may be cutting programs. And what we do is we go in and we assess those changes. Sometimes we offer our own assessments of the way certain state departments are operating. And we provide recommendations to the legislature to assess that budget. We also have another key role, though, is that's our fiscal forecasting role. With all the budget problems over recent years, a lot of people look to our numbers of how the economy is doing, how our revenue is doing, how our expenditure is doing. And we usually go out 5 years to try to give the legislature a sense for how do your spending and revenue programs play out over
and
time.
When does that come out?
Those come out like three times a year.
Okay.
In November, which will be our next one, and then in February, usually after the governor's budget, and then in May.
Well, your office doesn't shy away from big issues. In fact, recently a lot of your reports have grabbed a lot of attention. One of them, obviously very important to the Central Valley, is high-speed rail. What were your findings there?
Well, we had lots of findings, but I think we raised several questions about the funding status of the project. This project really is dependent on receiving a lot of federal funds.
Now, the project was originally, I think, costed out at, what, $43 billion, but now they're thinking it's more like $65 billion.
And it could go far beyond that.
Okay.
And the state through its voters and the approval of the bond measure, have, in effect, committed to $9 billion of that capital cost. But if the feds don't come up with a large proportion of the remainder, this may not be a viable project. And we just tried to point that out, to try to offer options, the way that we could work with the feds, perhaps, to give us a little more flexibility. But we did talk about the proposal to start the high-speed rail in the Central Valley, that if we weren't sure we were going to have funds to complete the project, it wasn't clear to us why you would want to start it there.
Okay. Well, we'll leave that question off to the side, and we'll jump from the frying pan into the fire, and we'll talk about public employee pensions.
Sure.
What were your findings there?
Well, we've come out with several documents on it, but there's been a lot of heat on public pensions. We've tried to shed a little light on it, because it's important that the state has a reasonable retirement program as a form of a compensation package we offer to employees. We have identified several problems with our current systems. We have large unfunded liabilities. We have a very volatile structure in which taxpayers, in effect, bear the risk of those programs. And we have very generous benefits relative to other states in the private sector. So we did offer alternatives to fix some of these problems, but still maintain a reasonable program for government employees.
And just to put a fine point on it, you also talked about redevelopment agencies. You've also done some work in that. Another very important issue. What would you find there?
Well, again, we've been talking about redevelopment agencies for quite a while. There have been abuses in this program. It's supposed to be for blighted areas, rather small blighted areas, and it's been used extensively. And it has real costs to the state and other local governments when cities primarily use redevelopment. We found that the agencies didn't necessarily generate new economic activity within a region. They typically just moved it from one place to within the redevelopment agency. So we did feel like there were reasons for the governor's proposal to make some rather serious changes in redevelopment agencies.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us, Mac Taylor, with the California's LAO's office. I also want to let our viewers know that these reports and others can be found online. When we come back, we'll talk with a person who provides an independent assessment of the financial and operational activities of state government, the state auditor. That conversation in a moment. This is the Matty Report.
From News Talk 580 KMJ, this is the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition. Here is Mark Kepler.
We often hear about the need to eliminate fraud, waste, and abuse from government. The mission of the State Auditor's Office is to, quote, promote the efficient and effective management of public funds and programs. We're delighted to have Elaine Howell, the State Auditor, to be our guest today. Welcome to the Matty Report.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you know, for those who don't know, what is the job of the California State Auditor?
The State Auditor's Office is a nonpartisan independent entity that actually audits state government. We actually can audit any publicly created entity, so not just government entities, school districts, water districts, et cetera. And what we're trying to do is make government more efficient and work more effectively.
Audit, that word probably scares a lot of people, puts the fear into a lot of people. Can you describe what an audit is, what triggers an audit, and what happens after an audit is completed?
Sure. And most people, when they think of auditors, they think of their taxes. They think of IRS agents coming in and auditing their taxes.
This is something we don't want to have happen.
Right, exactly. And that's not what our office does. I mean, we certainly audit financial statements, the financial statements of the state of California. But the vast majority of the work that we do is what we call performance audits, where we're going into government entities and really assessing how well the government is monitoring or managing a particular program. How well are we delivering services to citizens in California, and how effective are we in regulating certain industries in California? So we go in and we really take a hard look at how well a particular program is working. And if it's not working well, we let the public and the legislature and the administration know and give them recommendations about what we think needs to be done to improve that particular government program.
You anticipated my question about recommendations, but before we follow up on that, let me ask you about performance. Are there certain benchmarks that you look at in performance?
In some cases, departments will actually have benchmarks. Many times, it's in law. We'll use the legislation that had been enacted to create the program. And then we'll be looking at any particular goals or objectives or the mission of that particular agency or program we'll use as our foundation.
Can you give me an example of some kind of recommendations that you've made?
Sure. We recently audited the State Lands Commission, and the state leases properties in California to generate revenue. And we found over 140 leases that had expired, basically, and entities weren't paying their rent. So we said, you need to get in there and renew these leases. And in some cases, the leases hadn't been renewed for 20, 30 years. So these entities hadn't been paying rent to the state of California for years.
Wow. That long period of time. What kind of numbers are we talking about in terms of money?
Well, we looked at a small sample. We looked at 18 leases, and we felt that based on those 18 leases alone, the state could have generated an additional $6 million in revenue. revenue annually. So if you spread that over 140 leases, that you're talking significant amount of money for the state of California.
Right, a few million here, a few million there, it begins to add up.
That's right.
You know, each year you summarize the major findings and recommendations from your audit reports during the previous 2 years. I'm just wondering, what were the major findings and recommendations from your most recent report?
Right. This is a report we give to the legislature every year, but it covers audits that are conducted or completed the prior 2 years. Some examples were like the State Lands Commission. Another audit we did of the Department of Public Health, which is a regulatory agency which goes in and inspects nursing homes to make sure that our elders, our family members are properly cared for. And if they're not, those nursing homes need to be cited. What we found in that audit was the citations that were being issued were not being collected promptly. The homes weren't being enforced as far as required to pay those fines. And those fines, some of them hadn't been adjusted as far as the amount since 1985. So again, we identified millions of dollars that the state of California could have collected. But on the flip side, we need to make sure we're monitoring those homes so our relatives and family members are properly cared for in nursing homes in California.
We've only got about a minute left in this segment, but I want to ask about the investigations that you conduct under the California Whistleblowers Protection Act.
Right.
What kind of conduct qualifies for an investigation, and what do you do when you receive a complaint?
We can receive, first of all, I want your viewers to understand, we can receive a complaint from anyone in the state of California. They can go to our website, which is www.auditor.ca.gov. We have a whistleblower hotline, 1-800-952-5665, and it's an illegal act, a violation of law. It could be mismanagement, gross inefficiency. So, for example, Department of Corrections was leasing office space in California for 4 years. It was vacant. We never inhabited the space. That was a waste of almost $600,000 in California. We had other individuals, state employees, who were submitting travel claims in excess of what they should have been eligible for. So they were receiving payments from the state that were far above what they should have received.
Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. When we come back, we'll talk to a third state watchdog, the Little Hoover Commission. And what do they do? We'll talk about that in a moment. This is the Matty Report.
From News Talk 580 KMJ, this is the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition. Here is Mark Kepler.
Established in 1962, California's Little Hoover Commission's mission is to, quote, investigate state government operations and, through reports, recommendations, and legislative proposals, promote efficiency, economy, and improve service. We are fortunate to have Stuart Drown, the executive director of the Little Hoover Commission, with us today. Welcome to the Matty Report.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Well, first off, who makes up the commission? How are they selected?
The commission has 13 members. Nine are private citizens. Four are city and lawmakers. The governor has five appointments, and then the speaker has four appointments, and the Senate Rules Office has four. So they serve 4 year independent terms.
Well, how does the commission's role differ from other state and private sector bodies that analyze state programs?
Well, we're independent. The Legislative Analyst Office, they work strictly for the legislature. I mean, their reports and their analysis is valued by a much broader audience. But they're responsible to the legislature. The Bureau of State Audits also reports to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee, which is also a legislative body. We report our clients, if you could call them that. Are the legislature and the governor, and through them, the people of California, as well as the auditor and the LAO, have the same
Now, you're considered nonpartisan, correct?
We are. The staff is nonpartisan. The commission is bipartisan, and to produce recommendations that are the most valuable, they try to come up with. They develop recommendations that can be. Get a broad support among the commissioners, and we use a focus on evidence-based practices.
Is there any kind of like supermajority vote requirement or anything like that for commission recommendations?
No.
Okay.
It's a strict
majority vote?
Yeah.
Okay. I understand the commission has a statutory obligation to review and make recommendations on proposed government reorganization plans. Recently, the governor proposed to streamline the state's personnel functions. What were your findings on that? Is that a good idea?
The commission endorsed the reorganization plan to create what's called CalHR, The commission has done a lot of previous work in this area and feels very strongly that California's human resources functions have to be modernized. We've got a different kind of government now. We've got an outdated civil service process. We're not attracting and keeping the people that we need that can make government successful. We've got a lot of people retiring. That's a lot of experience, a lot of institutional knowledge that is leaving, and we need to have a better process for attracting the kind of people that the state needs, developing them, and then keeping them. And when they go into management, giving them the kind of management skills that they need to be successful for the state.
Kind of talking on that same vein on public employees, mm-hmm. pensions, big issue.
Yeah.
I understand that you had some findings on public employee pensions that got some attention. What were your findings?
The findings were that, as structured, the pension systems, particularly at the local government level, but also the state level, are unsustainable. That state and local government are giving more of their budgets to cover the rising costs of the pension benefits. And so we made a series of recommendations to try to bring the pension obligations back into something that was sustainable for government, that could still attract new workers and still give people, state workers and local government workers, a fair pension that provided them security. So we recommended a hybrid system, very similar to what the federal government has, that would be a defined benefit. We want to keep the defined benefit.
Which is a traditional pension plan.
Traditional defined benefit. Also introduce a defined contribution plan.
Which is like a 401k.
401k, but we're looking, what we'd seen that we thought was something that the commission wanted to support was a more risk-adjusted defined contribution part. And then also Social Security. Not all local government employees get Social Security. Not a lot. Some public safety at the state don't either. But we encouraged people to consider that as a...
I'm sorry. We've only got a minute left in the segment.
Sure.
I want to fit two more things in if we can quickly. Number one, I understand you're currently looking at the issue of regulatory reform. What specific things are you looking at?
We're looking at how state agencies use economic analysis in developing their recommendations and whether they or their regulations and whether they consider a range of alternatives to a given problem, solving a given problem, and then how they choose among those alternatives, how they engage stakeholders in the process.
The last issue, we've only got about 15 seconds, mm-hmm. so I have to say it pretty quickly here, and that is the commission's looking into corrections oversight, and that is moving supervision of low-level offenders and parolees from the state level to local jurisdictions. What's happening there?
We held a hearing in November and another hearing in March. We're looking very carefully at the conditions that have to be in place for locals to succeed. We think with realignment it's the right thing to do, but it has to be done right. It will mean a new role for the state. The state can't just walk away for this. So that's some of the things we're looking at is what would that state role look like.
Well, thank you very much for being here. When we come back, we'll talk with one of the Capitol's most respected political observers, Dan Walters of the Sacramento Bee. That conversation in a moment. This is the Matty Report.
From News Talk 580 KMJ, this is the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition. Here is Mark Kepler.
Welcome back. Dan Walters is a well-respected and popular political commentator with the Sacramento Bee, and his column is a must-read for those interested in state politics and state government. Thank you for being back on the Matty Report.
You're welcome.
We've talked to three government watchdogs today, the state auditor, the LAO, and the Little Hoover Commission. They all seem to focus on fraud, waste, and abuse. How would you describe their work? Let's start with the LAO.
Well, the LAO has been around for a long time. In fact, the current LAO, Mac Taylor, is only one of, I think, five people who have ever held the position, which shows you the longevity goes back to the 1940s. And he's a worthy successor to his predecessors, who tended to have long tenure, and they guard their independence very jealously, even though they work for the legislature, which is a very partisan place, as we all know. The legislature leaves them alone to basically to call their shot. That doesn't mean the legislature ever necessarily follows their advice. In fact, most of the time they don't. But they leave the analysts alone, let them do their thing. And they're basically, most of their stuff deals with a budget. And they're saying, you know, this is what the reality is. And people can choose it. But at least politicians can't say they don't know what the reality is because the analyst is telling them what the reality is.
What about the state auditor?
Auditor has been changed recently. It used to be actually function of the legislature, the Auditor General's office, and then when they started getting some restrictions on their spending, it shifted over into the state auditor office. Still works for the legislature, basically, but it's a little bit of a more independent operation. It actually just does specific studies of specific things as requested by the legislature. They want to know, does this program work or something like that. They request a committee in the legislature has to approve the audit, and then they operate pretty much independently once they've been given the task.
Okay, then what about the Little Hoover Commission?
Little Hoover Commission, named for Herbert Hoover, because there used to be a big Hoover Commission for the U.S. government many years ago. It's formerly known as the Milton Marks Little Hoover Commission, named for a former state senator from San Francisco. It's a very awkward name. They do their own thing. They decide what they're going to look at, and they issue their reports on that subject. Again, very independent, and people are free to take their advice or not take their advice. The most controversial one they've done lately is one on the state pension system that raised the hackles of politicians. I know they got chewed out by some Democratic politicians in the legislature privately for disturbing their friends in the labor movement, but they tend to be all these people give out information. They call them as they see them, and politicians and the public's free to take their information and believe it or not believe it or use it or not use it as they see fit. And most of the time, these things are filed away. They get a little momentary press attention, and then they're filed away somewhere.
You know, it seems like we've become more partisan. And it used to be there are certain nonpartisan organizations that people deemed trustworthy, and they'd look to for the unvarnished truth. I'm just wondering, is that still true?
I think these organizations still have that status. People may disagree with what they say, but they don't necessarily accuse them of having an agenda. Some agenda beyond just trying to find the facts and the truth of it as best they can, so I think they still have that stature, but in a polarized political atmosphere, both in the legislature and in the public as a whole, people aren't looking for an unvarnished fact. They're looking for something to bolster their opinions, and so they get a lot of heat from people who simply don't like what they hear from these organizations.
And so if they say something you like, you're a genius, and if they say something you don't like, not so much.
I do think they fulfill a function, though. If nothing else, they provide a lot of material for the political press to say, hey, this is something, somebody has looked at this thing, they're professionals, they know what they're talking about, and this is what they say about this situation, regardless of what's being said in the political realm.
We've only got about 30 seconds left. I just want to ask you this. If voters want to get informed on the issues, where should they look for that kind of information, besides reading your column?
Well, of course, the legislative analyst analyzes all the ballot measures. That's one place. I don't know what else to sell you other than ballot measures. If you're looking at politicians and people running for office, you're kind of stuck with the media, whether you want to be or not, because that's probably about the only source.
So read the newspaper.
Read the newspaper.
Okay. Well, I want to thank Dan Walters, the state auditor Elaine Howell, Stuart Drown from the Little Hoover Commission, and Mac Taylor, California's legislative analyst, for joining us.
If you want to keep up to date with state and local politics, you can sign up for our free e-newsletter, The Maddie Daily, by just logging on to our website at maddieinstitute.org.
The Maddie Report Valley Views Edition is a public affairs partnership between KMJ Radio and the nonpartisan Maddie Institute, providing the Valley with valuable insight and analysis on important public policy issues.
This is Mark Kepler for the Maddie Report Valley Views Edition. Thanks for joining us.